Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. On the phone, we are joined by Rakesh Krishnamurti, Director, Enterprise Sales, Southeast Asia at PayPal. PayPal commissioned Ipsos to survey across 13 markets globally to determine the purchasing behavior and overarching trends of, well, all of us. We take a deep dive into Singaporean shopping habits. Rakesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clarissa. Happy to be here.
All right. Now, first off, and this was a big question for me. Why do surveys like this matter to PayPal?
First, we look at it in three ways, right? One, the world has undergone this unprecedented change, right, in the last couple of years. And as a business, it's first to conduct these surveys to get a better understanding of global trends and, you know, local nuances. Secondly, what I call this outside-in view, as I call it, right, will also supplement what we already know from our own proprietary data, help us identify areas of growth and improvement, and to serve our constituents of our two-sided network of PayPal consumers and merchants. And I think last but not least, this is also our way of sharing understanding of global phenomena with people outside our network so that they can glean this information and apply to their own business if it matters to them. You know? So as they say, the rising tide will lift all boats.
Right. Okay. It's going to be interesting to find out what it is that we Singaporeans shopped for online since, you know, a lot of us have been pretty much stuck at home. Work from home, circuit breaker, all of that contributed to the only entertainment we had was shopping online.
Aside from a lot of alcohol, no, I'm just joking. I think there was a recent report about a sudden upsurge of, you know, people buying a lot of alcohol because the dining was restricted, right? So people start drinking at home. But according to our commerce report, the three categories that we saw people shopped a lot on was clothing and apparel, cosmetics and beauty products, and appliances. So clothing and apparel, you know, it was a shift from regular work clothes to this category called athleisure, right? So that's growing really significantly, not just in Singapore, but globally as well. Cosmetics and beauty products, you know, what's happening is that we've seen an uptake of local brands that are coming to the forefront, in addition to your very popular global cosmetic brands. And I think this has partly got to do with the discovery of new brands that's changed from the physical to the digital, right? Because usually if you're buying cosmetics, you're in the store and you see what they want to sell to you, whereas now everything is digital. You could be on Instagram or Facebook, and then you see a new brand of cosmetics, and, you know, that's where the discovery comes in. People start buying from those categories. And, of course, appliances. Look, I think everybody's kind of stocked up on, you know, digital cameras, not just cameras, video cameras, you know, those movable desks. And what we also found was people were buying exercise equipment, right? Because some of the gyms were closing down. And I think if you remember, there was, even if you had a stay at home in a hotel, you could kind of rent a stationary bike to be sent over to the hotel so that you could exercise in there for the 2 weeks. So these were the three categories that a lot of Singaporeans were shopping at.
So all of this sounds like it was COVID-19 fueled.
In a way, yes. I think there was already buying in those categories, but what COVID-19 really did was accelerated digital buying. What people have said is that COVID has accelerated digital commerce by about 3 to 5 years, right? If we didn't have this happening to us, we will probably get to that stage maybe in 5 years' time, but everything has been just kind of accelerated because of COVID. The other aspects was, you know, these new shoppers coming on, more people shopping cross-border because they're stuck at home, and obviously new segments that are coming to the forefront as well. So all these are also, you know, increasing the spend, digital spend across boundaries, across global boundaries.
Right. And one of the secondary things that you said that I picked up on was that more people were willing to try local brands when you're talking about cosmetics and such, rather than the big global players. that would be good news for our local brands.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of those ways in which, you know, I feel local brands can compete with, you know, some of the global brands, right? Because you have the ability to connect with your customer locally, right? So I think one of the things that I think they could start doing was to be able to engage your customers on a local basis. But I think more importantly, you know, what the merchant could do is to think holistically, right? To increase the experience for the customer who they have now on their doorstep. Are they mobile centric? What are their delivery times? What are the return policies? Your browsing experience, customer support, the payment experience, right? So these are the kinds of things that, you know, that local merchants are, you know, need to think about, you know, so that they can start addressing a broader audience as well.
Okay, now you brought up cross-border shopping. Let's talk about that. Singaporeans are pretty price sensitive. I am as well. I'm always looking for the deal. Is this an area where local retailers can leverage lower shipping costs to win back their wallet share? Because one of the things I've noticed is a lot of the merchants outside of Singapore are actually cheaper.
Absolutely. And I think it all depends on, you know, the product that you're looking for, right? And I think sometimes going to the source, it's probably getting the cost. But then again, the delivery costs, you know, will also impact you. So, for instance, like I bought a pair of shorts from this site called 1,000 Miles. I think they're based in the US. Mm. And, you know, 2-3 pairs of shorts and you add in your shipping costs, you know, makes me want to think, you know, should I kind of see if there's a next better alternative, you know, locally as well. So I think that's a natural phenomena of the digital commerce and people becoming more mobile centric, right? But if you bring it back to the local retailers, right, what can they do? I think they need to compete on experience besides just price. Right. And going back to what I said just now, are you mobile centric? Are your payments experience invisible? Because you don't want people to be lingering on payment pages and not having second thoughts. And then how I would think about it is I would kind of flip it the other way around. If you're a local merchant and you find that you are losing, you know, customers to overseas brands, you know, what's stopping you from enticing customers from other markets to shop on your site? Right. So what I mean now is to think cross-border and start partnering with platforms, you know, that give you a reach to a broader audience. Right. So, for instance, we've got 350 million active PayPal users all over the world. So that's one potential option to consider for a Singapore company who sells maybe, you know, gaming chairs, for instance, right, to reach a broader audience. So I think that's another way of, you know, looking at it, as opposed to just looking at yourself, just looking beyond your own borders.
So what you're saying is don't look at cross-border shopping as a one-way street. Hey, you know, if we're looking at international sites, why wouldn't international shoppers be looking at our local sites?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a good example would be that gaming chair, which I just mentioned, right? I think the brand name is called Secret Lab. They're in the press today. They parlayed that, you know, that expertise of gaming chairs from the local market to become a global brand right now. So I can name you so many other local Singapore companies that have done that. Razer is another one. Charles & Keith is another one. All these are PayPal customers, you know, who have realized that, you know, there is a broader audience and there is a partner that we can, you know, that we can partner with as well.
Do you think that some of the local merchants hadn't actually thought of that? You know, there are obviously challenges to being an international shipper. Mm-hmm. So do you think they perhaps it was a blind spot they didn't think about, shipping overseas?
No, I don't think so. I think, look, logistics and cross-border trade has been around for ages. And, you know, in addition to your very branded logistics shippers now, the whole entire, what we call the 3PL, third-party logistics industry, has grown tremendously, that it is all interconnected, right? So I don't think that should be something a local merchant should worry too much about, because with technology today, you know, a lot of shipping details can be put on a platform for the consumer to also understand where their shipment is, right? So like when I buy that particular pair of shorts, when I bought that particular pair of shorts the first time around, I have a tracking ID, right? And as a consumer, right, I was very assured of where my shipment was every step of the way. So when you provide that kind of comfort to a consumer, right, working the right platforms, that shouldn't stop you from wanting to venture overseas and, you know, look at expanding your your customer base.
Right. Okay. Now, I'm wondering whether, since we're talking about Singaporean shoppers, are there unique trends here in Singapore and our shopping choices that revolve around festive occasions?
Look, I think you and I, we're Singaporeans, right? We are the world's biggest shoppers and the world's biggest bargain hunters, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
So, Christmas time, I'm looking for deals.
Yeah, and just Christmas time. I think we are smart shoppers now, right? And I think what has happened is that with digital commerce today, you've seen a lot of these platform sites that have deals on a monthly basis now. Now, we all know 11-11, 12-12 is like one of the biggest shopping days that happens globally and obviously in Singapore as well. But generally, you will find certain spikes around those major buying periods. Festive occasions are definitely one of those. But I think generally we shop most of the year, right? I think the beauty of e-commerce today and ordering today and getting it tomorrow, right, is not stopping people from buying only when a certain item goes on sale. Here's a case in point. I shopped on Amazon at 1 a.m. last night, you know, watching the football game. And I ordered cereal and it came at 10 a.m. this morning.
You ordered cereal while you were watching England?
Yes, I was watching. It was a good game, by the way. But the fact
So I've been told.
Yeah. No, but the fact is, you know, I ordered it at 1 a.m. in the morning and it got delivered at 10 a.m., right? So this is what digital commerce has done for businesses, right? They've put the buying time outside normal, you know, buying periods on a brick and mortar store. So from a Singaporean shopper perspective, you're not shopping only during, you know, your leisure time. You could be shopping anytime during the day. But naturally, the festive occasions are the times where you have, you know, the biggest deals naturally. And, you know, people have a higher propensity to obviously drop, you know, a bigger chunk of change on those items.
Right. Okay. Now, before I let you go, 83%, which is what you discovered in your survey, of Singaporeans continue to shop using their smartphones. So the question would be, what online safety measures are needed to authenticate legitimate merchants and consumers? Because we're always worried about getting, you know, robbed, basically.
Absolutely. I can kind of boil it down to three things. One is make sure you select the right merchants to purchase from. Take a couple of minutes to make sure, look out for third-party logos to show the site is certified, they've got security certifications, and they offer trusted and secure method of payments. Secondly, if you have a choice, opt in for multi-factor authentication as opposed to just your SMS OTPs that everybody gets nowadays. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are various ways to do it. Send it to your email address, get it to your phone or different ways so that you hackers can, you know, are unable or have a harder time to hack into your phone. And thirdly, I think it's about making sure that the payments that you are making on is provided by a legit company, a trusted and secure payments platform, right? And as a buyer, you are also, you know, covered from the payment partner's protection policies as well. So it's like what we have for our PayPal buyer protection that, you know, protects the account should they be compromised or lost due to unauthorized transactions. So these basically three things, you know, these are like your hygiene factors most of the time. And then you should be safe to go, you know, safe to rock it on and bring out your, buy whatever you want.
Yeah, buy whatever you want at 1 o'clock in the morning.
A bit hungry then.
Yeah, I'm sure all that cheering made you hungry.
Yes, I know, yes.
We've been speaking with Rakesh Krishnamurthy, Director, Enterprise Sales, Southeast Asia at PayPal, taking a deep dive into the online purchasing preferences of Singaporeans. Rakesh, thank you very much for the insight. It's been a fun conversation.
It's my pleasure, Clarissa. Thank you for having me.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. You're on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.